Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Live from Toad Hall, it's a podcast that has longer show notes than they have a show. It's Guys, Canes, and Beer!
Hooray!
We are at a limited staff capability right now, though I hear we have others on the way.
But that being said,
we are at one of our favorite places.
Yes, we are at our favorite place, which is Toad Hall. Yeah, I love going here and recording. Because we get to sit in the corner and get pretty lit, which I am. Yeah. I'm not in good shape. I'm on gin and tonic number 3. Therefore, I'm going to have a problem focusing. We will be talking today about an excellent topic. And that excellent topic is the road less traveled, the undiscovered territory. The undiscovered country. Yeah, right? Territory. Cartridges, yes. Cartridges. We're going to be talking about the games less played, the games that maybe you've never heard of and you really should have. So, why don't we get things started with Tom?
Oh, well, I was going to let Travis start it because he's actually prepared for this. No, actually, I'm actually prepared for this. So,
Prepared?
Oh, God. The Larry disease.
Zero.
Yeah, actually, Larry is probably patient zero. Actually, or at least his liver is patient zero. So we're going to talk about games that you may have not have heard about, but are worth at least taking a look at. So mine actually is a Flash-based game, okay?
That's why nobody's heard of it.
Ouch. Yeah, okay, no, but that being said, it was a game called Orbit by Eminent... I think it was the publisher on this one. So, as you all know, I don't like overly drawn-out games. Once in a while, they're fine when I have days and days to kill. But generally, I like a game I can drop in, play for 15 minutes, and get out and go. So, the basic premise of this game is you're going to have a comet that's orbiting a planet. And the idea is to basically get a geostable orbit without losing too much material from your comet. So, it's kind of just a simulation, if you will, an orbital simulation game.
Of sex.
Well, it depends who you're orbiting.
You're not really trying to lose all your mass.
But you do want to orbit it a little bit first. But the game's fairly straightforward. It's a Flash game. You can find it online. It was a freebie. I mean, this was a no-cost game. But it's just a great game. You really have to put a little strategy into it, figuring out things like that. There are power-ups for your comet. So that your comet can gain mass back. Different planets.
Is it Halley's comet?
No, in this case it was Tom's comet.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, it's my comet. I get to name it what I want. But it was really just a really... I'm sure you probably haven't heard of it. So, but if you'll just search Orbit Flash Game or Orbit by Eminent Publishing, it should come up in your list. Because of the freebie, you know, it was like, I don't think anybody advertised for it or anything. I'm not even sure if Eminent ever did any other publishing. I will have to check that. But, I mean, the game played well. It was a good way to waste, you know. You could play it in a browser. So if you're, you know, doing something else, listening to a podcast, screwing around online, whatever, you know, waiting for something to load or download, it was something you could pop up in your browser, play for a while, you know. Just a good way to kill a little time. So yeah, that would be my number one. I mean, now, okay. So that was a newer game. Now let me go retro on you, okay? The great.
People never heard of this game ever.
Oh no, I'm betting a lot of people have actually, but only people in our world. Great Guiana Sisters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, they had a remake.
I know they did. So you.
Yeah,
can...
I have it on the DS actually. I have a DS Great Guiana Sisters.
Wait, one more time. You have a what?
I have a Great Guiana Sisters game for the DS.
isn't that funny for the Nintendo DS? And it's legitimate.
Okay, so now the reason that's funny is Nintendo, who owned the whole Mario franchise, originally... Originally, hey,
licensing yeah, Nintendo?
Probably actually with Nintendo. So the whole thing was back in the early days of computer gaming and gaming, there was a Mario Brothers ripoff that is absolutely spot on. It was called the Great Giana Sisters. And when you look at it, you go, oh, that's Mario Brothers with girls. But it was such a spot-on ripoff, and it played so exceptionally well. It was originally out for the Commodore 64.
It's so good they got sued.
Yeah, exactly. So original copies of this game are worth their weight in gold, but it was all over the place. But there was a relaunch on it for the PC. And the
iOS, so Apple had it.
Yeah, right. And there's one on the DS, because I own that.
And the fact there's one on the DS is just weird. I did not hear about that one.
No, it's a new adventure. I forget what it's exactly called.
Is it the one with the two worlds where you play the two different girls and it looks different?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so evidently the DS has a really good version, but the Great Giana Sisters, if you want to play it emulated, like on the C64 emulators, is really a solid platform game. It was.
So it's really the Great Chicken Sisters? That's really what it is? Giana's Chicken.
It could have been what they meant to put it that.
Chicken Sisters?
Could be. But the game is just a solid platform Mario ripoff. I mean, it was perfect. I mean, it really played.
Yeah, they did steal the levels. The first level was stolen.
It was the exact same level, but it played so extremely well. Who cared?
I got a question. So, obviously, Mario ripoff. Now, was there anything it did differently besides slightly different graphics? Or
the physics were a little different.
Okay.
For sure. Like, they controlled and handled. It felt a little tighter.
Okay.
In all honesty, I got to agree with you. Actually, the controller felt tighter on that. But I think that was a function of the computer, not...
But the thing is also, like, you didn't have as much, like, drift, like, when you're running and stopping. You didn't kind of slide as much.
No, that's true. When you hit your joystick and pull back, you stop. Dead on the money. Unlike in Mario Brothers, where you actually slip it. Which made the game in some ways a little easier than Mario Brothers, because you didn't have that slide, and the controls were very tight. Again, just a good, solid game. So, for another, and again, some retro gamers may have heard of it, but if you haven't played it, it would be a game worth getting on the PC or the iOS.
On the DS, too. Like, it's dirt cheap. It's sub $10.
Oh, well, yeah, for that price, pick it up. It's well worth the cost.
I mean, the remake is golden. Yeah. If you see it on Steam, okay, it's also worth picking up. Just a great game.
Yeah, so strongly suggest check Steam. Great Giana Sisters, again. But if you want a good freebie, go with Orbit. Orbit is a good freebie. Like Great Giana Sisters, again, like a lot of gaming I play, sometimes I like games where I just can sit down, play a few rounds, and get out. All right, so those are my choices for obscure.
All right, so I have a couple I'm talking about, but I did have a hard time deciding on what to talk about, because when you hang out with a bunch of people that know so much about games, it's like, well, is it really obscure or is it not? I mean,
I'll tell you. I'll be that guy. I'll be like, that's not obscure. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. One of the first ones I'm going to talk about is the first one I thought of, is the game that me and Travis picked up and I've talked about before, is Galerians, which was just
that's obscure.
That it was just, we randomly rented it, I think, too, when Blockbuster was still a thing, and it was just the weirdest thing. You play a kid with telekinesis and stuff.
You take drugs to enhance those powers.
Yeah, no, you wake up in the middle of the hospital, you take drugs to enhance your powers, and it's creepy as hell because you're literally walking through the hospital and, like, literally just, like, crushing people with your telekinetic powers. And it was just
setting them on fire.
It was just creepy, slow walking. It was messed up.
Yeah, it felt like a survival horror game, but, like, you were the one that was in control of the situation.
Yeah, it was creepy, but now I've looked around for it, and I've seen that, like, Midwest Gaming Classic, it's like $50-$60 bucks for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
That's on my list of eventually get. But,
and this was a PlayStation game,
okay,
by the way.
What platform? PS1?
Yes.
PSX.
Well, actually, technically PS1.
PS1.
Yes. But no, it was a really good game and creepy. Like, not like jump out scary, but creepy, like, man.
Yeah, it was a different thing. I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. The whole PS thing confuses me.
One other game I wanted to bring up was a game called Siphon Filter.
Siphon Filter?
Yeah.
I've got 1 and 2 for the original PlayStation. If you ever want to borrow?
I have the first one.
So fun.
It was released, because I had to look up because I wanted to verify, it was released in 1999. It was like an action stealth game.
And your tasers... When it came out, it was huge, and then it kind of faded to obscurity.
Yeah. It was
And your taser
great.
Starts people on fire.
Yeah. Because it came out before Splinter Cell.
I can see that it's a trend to his game, starting people on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? What, yeah, what is with that? Let's see. I get to crush and start them on fire, or
like
start them on fire.
I like to burn things. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was great. The one thing that I remember, and I was looking it up and reading about just now to refresh my memory, is the AI in the game was really good. It was smart. It wasn't just like, haha, you guys are dumb and I'm going to kill all of you. But it forced you to sneak around a lot. It was a great, great game. I had a lot of fun, and like Trev said, it just died off. They made 2 of them and then gone. I think it was because in 2002, Splinter Cell came out and it erupted. It was huge.
Yeah,
but again, the original Siphon Filter came out in 1999, and it was great, and it was original. It was a lot of fun. One other game I want to mention is originally for the Genesis, and then was later released on Super Nintendo and other stuff as well, was Desert Strike.
Yeah.
Desert Strike was a game where you played as a helicopter, and it was based on like the Gulf War in some random made-up country, and basically you just flew around this helicopter blowing shit up, rescuing people, and it was a lot of fun.
Wait a minute, chopper lifter?
Like a modernized chopper
lifter. It was, that's specifically what it was. They said they wanted to make a game like Chopper Lifter, but they wanted to create a
Chopper Lifter, that's with the motorcycle.
Yeah, whatever.
Shoplifting.
But what they wanted was a non-linear game, and it is. It's just a big map, and you have to different objectives that you have to do, and it was a lot of fun destroying like radar dishes, picking people up, saving them, and it was a lot of fun actually. I played that game a lot.
Sequels, right? You had Jungle Strike and Nuclear Strike.
Yeah, I know it had sequels. I never got to play those. I just remember playing me and my brothers. We played the hell out of Desert Strike, me and my brothers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was a really great game.
Some solid choices there. Holy crap.
All right, I brought a little show and tell.
So
I figured I'd bring some of the games. I was like, oh, yeah, look at my shelf.
Some Headless Travis.
Stuff playing lately. So we've got Ni No Kuni.
Wrath of the White Witch. Really like this game. It's a straight up JRPG. It's not like turn based. It's got really cool action based combat, but it really feels like a JRPG. It's done by Studio Ghibli, so all the artwork and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty much like it's like a Miyazaki RPG. It's because done by Studio Ghibli, so it's the same people who do the art. So absolutely great story. So if you feel like playing through something that is like Princess Mononoke or Howl's Moving Castle or anything like that, it's really worth checking out. I liked it enough that I got the Steelbook. I was like, it's a really good game. And they just announced a sequel, so I feel that's pretty timely. The next one I've got here is Anarchy Reigns. And I picked this up because GameStop was having a really, really sweet sale. It was 4 games for $10 off a selected list for Xbox 360, PS3, and Wii games. So I legitimately bought, like, and it's like, you saved $167. I legitimately got, like, 50 games for, like, $50. It was crazy. So this is one of the better ones I picked up. It's a beat-em-up. It is a new-school beat-em-up. It's 3D kind of arena brawler. Has a lot of really cool... It's got Jack from Mad World and a couple other, like, weird, obscure Sega characters. But it's a really, really solid brawler that has some really, really cool and obscure game modes. And I highly recommend giving it a try. It's something you can kind of pick up really quickly. It's got a story mode where you can unlock stuff, but the multiplayer is a lot of fun, and you can kind of do it in just a few minutes, too. So it's something that's really easy to pick up and play and a really, really solid brawler. And then the last one I've got is one of my personal all-time favorites that I'm sure probably only a few people have heard of. It's called Phantom Dust. I liked it enough that this is like a weird Japanese copy of it that has a really cool like, oh, hey, congratulations on 3 years of Xbox in Japan. It survived that long. I'm really surprised because the Xbox did not sell well. So basically... this is the creator. It's the same guy who did the Panzer Dragoon series originally. So it's got some good credentials behind it. Xbox did try hard to make a stake in Japan and create some cool, unique games. They just did not go over well. This one, the creator, actually got inspiration kind of from games like Magic the Gathering. So this game is a card-based combat, but it's in real time. So you actually have an arena. You kind of play as an avatar that can run around in a 3D space, but you build a deck, and that deck is what summons on the arena while you're kind of casting them at your opponent. So you'll run around the arena, cast spells, and you'll use the environment to your advantage. So you can, like, take down bridges or throw pieces of the rocks at them or toss a bus at them or any amount of things. So that's got destructible environments. It was a really, really cool game for the original Xbox. They actually tried to do a remake for it for the Xbox One that fell apart, unfortunately. But it is still a really, really good game, and it's really cheap. It's an obscure game that is, like, really cheap to get because not a whole lot of people know about it, and it's really good. It's really good, and if you're even mildly interested in Magic the Gathering, I would recommend you try it, or any other collectible card game. The combat is just top-notch. There's a lot of replayability, and it's just a lot of fun to deck build and do combat with your friends. So I highly recommend, out of all of these, you check this one out the most.
Awesome, man. Nice. All right, so I've got two games. The first one was... This is so hard to say after a couple drinks. This is called Donwell, and I learned about it from a guy called the Bangkokian. He's on YouTube. We'll link him up. And it's very hard not to say Bukkakian, I have to say. It's the Bangkokian. Don't get it wrong, because if you look up the Bukkakian, it's not going to be good. But anyway, big shout-out to him. Donwell, I'm going to read their actual description for it first. Donwell is a curious game about a young person venturing down a well in search of untold treasures with only his gun boots to protect him. He's got gun boots.
Okay, wait. And so, are they boots made of guns, or
they're
boots with guns?
Boots with guns in them. So they're really big guns.
The name Downwell really means you are going down a well.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of awesome about it.
I was kind of good with that, actually.
Yeah, my description is it's a NES-like game. It's a game that probably should have... I can't believe this kind of thing was never produced on the NES. But anyway, it's a NES-like game. It has NES-like graphics. Just great NES-like gameplay. Just that tight controls. You're going down a well. It's a platformer. It's not one screen at a time, it scrolls down, but you're just literally going down one screen that vertically goes all the way down. Really fun, just because of the mechanics, because of how well they put everything together. This game just plays excellently. I've never seen a game like this before, at least on the NES, even though it is a NES-like game.
Okay, what platform?
This is on the PC, and okay. PC only. This is unusual for me. Usually I try to go cross-platform with it, but it's so good. It's worth mentioning. The game mechanics are very tight. There's a lot of weapons, a lot of pickups, just all sorts of crazy things that you pick up, armor, new types of weapons. There's like a shotgun that you shoot down there. I mean, it's really fun. Really well-done game. I can't believe it has not got more press than it does. It's just so good. And its reviews on Steam are, like, overwhelmingly positive out of, like, I don't know, like 500 or something.
Okay. What kind of expense is it?
It's like $3. Oh, so there's no damn reason not to buy this game.
Yeah.
We should probably give one away. I'll see if I can contact the
I would say
guy
yes.
and
Let's
give it away because it's really good. Character upgrades, just everything. So, yeah, for $3, it's made by a company called Moppin. It's made by Devolver Digital. Does anybody know who they are?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Serious Sam. They're the Serious Sam developer. Oh. Yeah. How weird is that?
Okay, that is really weird.
And these guys, Devolver Digital, have been publishing a lot of really weird, small indie games that are really excellent.
Explain
so
Serious
check
Sam
them
a
out.
Bit.
Well, Serious Sam is a first-person shooter. It's Duke Nukem, except not sucky.
Right, thank you, exactly.
It's a modernized Duke Nukem. Yeah, except it's actually funny. And it's great. Its mechanics are great.
Early Duke
Nukem
was
funny
great.
When I was 12.
Well, even Duke Nukem is okay. It's not a terrible game. It's just not a good game. This is actually a good game.
Serious Sam.
Serious Sam is, yeah. But Downwell's excellent. For game number two, I'm going to talk about one that was recently given to me for review. And I usually don't mention review. I've mentioned maybe three the entire run of the podcast. This one's called Zombie Party, and just because of the name, you might miss it, because there's so many zombie games out there. But Are there even zombies in it? There might be like a few zombies. All right. Well, I mean, every character shows up a million times, but it's not very zombie based. And I'm gonna read their description too. Zombie Party is an intense action RPG shoot 'em up experience with creative weaponry. That's true. And modular weapon building system. Go on a time-traveling, multi-dimensional adventure game alone or with your friends. And that's true. You can play with up to four friends on the same screen. It's a couch game Steam. You can play.
They are the best.
My saying is it's a top-down dual-stick shooter with RPG elements. And it has an epic amount of weapon upgrades. That description does not do it justice. There are gajillions of weapon upgrades. Everything from... there's like rainbow guns. You and like every weapon is customizable, so you can add, they have slots. So you can add different weapon upgrades to different slots, and when you pick up that weapon, it has all those upgrades. It's amazing. And it is in alpha. It's still not a complete game yet, but even if you play it right now, it's fun. Like I said, insane. It's a little bit like Borderlands in a way. Just that many upgrades. That idea. Things catch on fire. Catch on fire. The gameplay is insane. Sometimes I have a hard time telling where the hell I am. The bullets are flying everywhere. If there was ever a twin stick bullet hell game, this is it.
Okay.
Bullets everywhere. Enemies everywhere. What was the name of that game from the 80s? Smash TV.
Oh, yeah.
Take Smash TV, put it on some fucking steroids, and give it some hemorrhoids so it's angry. Just an amazing freaking game. Amazing.
What platforms?
Platform is PC.
PC only.
Yeah. Yeah, I will mention the price in a minute. By the way, it has forced feedback on it. Well, you know, vibration function. So you play it with an Xbox 360 controller or Xbox One controller, which I highly recommend. Dude, it nearly shakes out of your hand. I've never seen so much damn force feedback. You're constantly firing. It's just crazy. If you set it on a table, it would just walk right the hell off the table.
Just hold it in your lap.
No. That's just wrong.
I might try that later.
But no.
So right.
Yeah. No.
So it's $8 right now while it's in alpha. Yeah, both of these games give you so much bang for the buck. They're ridiculously low priced for what they are. This one's made by Peach Pie Productions and published by them as well, but it's also published by Black Shell Media, which I've actually talked about their games a couple times on the show. Really good.
So Black Shell basically is an umbrella for a lot of smaller media publishing anyways, though. So that's kind of cool to see. But I've never heard of anything by these other guys. Is this their first attempt?
I am not 100% sure. It does look like they've got other games on their site, okay, as I recall. But I did check them out because I've been kind of obsessed with this. I've been really playing the hell out of it. I'm sitting there playing Fallout 4, you know, and I'm like, I'm walking across the wasteland. You know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go shoot some shit. All right, so...
Oh, my God. The NBA episode.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. From our sister podcast, it's J.J. Bradley from Tip to Tip with J.J. Bradley.
Okay, so we are talking about obscure games that people really should look into. Something you've played...
That no one else played.
Well, not necessarily.
That
not a lot of people know about. We're spreading the good word here. So I think we're actually going to... I'm going to put Mikey on the spot right away.
All right. I'll say I've definitely probably played a lot less games than all you guys here. But the first thing that jumps to my mind...
League of Legends.
Oh, gosh.
No one knows that.
No. This was actually for the PS3. So you guys might know what it is, but it's called Heavy Rain. And it played out like a movie where sometimes you walked a guy around, but for the most part you reacted to scenes. Like something would happen, you had to press either A or B as it came up, and if you didn't press it in time, something else would happen. But it was about you played as four separate characters trying to track down, that were all linked to catching this guy named the Origami Killer. That he killed these people and he left an origami crane, was his mark, his thing. And it was really cool. It scared the crap out of me a few times. You really get drawn into the character. Like I said, it plays like a really good movie. Okay. So yeah.
PS3 is the only platform that's available on?
I believe so.
Okay.
So, Heavy Rain on the PS3. All right, well, another one to look for. All right, anything else?
Not off the top of my head.
All right, pass around to JJ.
Okay, I'm going to go with Dead Island Epidemic.
You've never heard of Dead Island Epidemic.
No, that's... No, that's... That you've heard of Dead Island.
Aquarium game.
I was going to say that one, too. Dead Island Epidemic is a MOBA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's... MOBA is kind of putting it very loose. It's way different. It's got a, instead of like the usual, you know, love it loose. But anyways, I knew that one would get robbed. But it's got, instead of the...
That's why we've been together for so long.
PBR.
Keep going. Okay.
Yeah. Epidemic. So instead of the usual click like moving, you know, usually you click with the mouse or you like move with the mouse. It's got W, A, S, and D as the movement. And then your mouse just aims your weapon and then you click to fire and like cast abilities and shit.
It's a totally different game.
What?
Yeah. It's a totally different epidemic.
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought it was
There's like mission modes and stuff and like there are like times you play exclusively cooperatively.
Yep.
In certain missions rather than just playing like
team. Yeah, instead of going like, yeah, instead of PvP, there is like PvE elements to it where you don't have to play just against other people.
Well,
there's
I didn't play it, did I?
Tons of different modes.
Yeah, tons.
Tons of different modes and a lot of good characters.
So, with you moving around with WASD and you said you are using the mouse for your skills, are most of the skills like skill shots or is it kind of a mix?
It is a mix still.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's still a pretty balanced mix actually too. It's not like there's like one character that just has stuff that shoots things or like stuff like that. One of my favorites was one that it's like a melee chick and she just like it's kind of like akin to an alien from the Aliens movies. Like big long like tail that can stab you and stuff like that. So like they have humans, but they have like mutated humans as well, and that's how they can like explain like uses like special powers and stuff too. But then, that's a really fun game and it's free to play. So go get it. It's a lot of fun. I used to play it all the time. But the other game that I've been playing recently that not a lot of people know about is Subnautica, and that's a
I've heard of this. I think I haven't.
Yeah. You probably have bought it, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean,
he owns everything.
I don't think I need to bring that up again, but but anyways, it's basically a game where you are on a giant ship and the ship gets shot down and it crash lands onto a planet and you're the only survivor and the planet is covered in water. But it's kind of like imagine Minecraft except with not everything's blocky and underwater. All of it's underwater, but it's gorgeous. Like, it's so gorgeous. The game runs Unity 5. It started at Unity 4, but then they just switched it to Unity 5 because it's just so much
trending, more
beautiful. And yeah, trending, yes. That covers it. But then it's really awesome because you can find metals and stuff in the ground and make, like, ships. You can make like tools that you can use to like capture the wildlife or like kill it because there is stuff that wants to kill you. For example, there's a model in the game called the Reaper Leviathan, and it's 80 times bigger than your character model. And that's the thing, is this game is like it's to that kind of scale. This thing is so huge, like it's massive. What was it? I remember a streamer was streaming this game and he said he had to upgrade his RAM from 16 gigabytes to 32 gigabytes just for the game to like go smoothly at the highest settings while recording for Twitch because the world is so massive and it's still in alpha. So they're still working on, you know, getting all the tweaks and making it so it'll run like perfectly. It runs fine on my system. I have 8 gigs like of RAM on my system. That was exclusively because like recording it on the highest settings, which are still experimental in the like experimental stages, was just intense on requirements. But it's an awesome game, and the cool thing is you're the only one. That's it. It's just you. So, kind of just like Minecraft. I mean, you could say Minecraft has those, like, the little dwarf people or whatever. But it's literally just you and then giant fucking things that want to eat you. Underwater. Don't forget the underwater.
What's that?
Kind of like real life.
Damn right. But, yeah, that's, I don't know.
That's solid.
Yeah. I can't really...
Okay, so how much...
Oh, Mirror's Edge. Okay, wait. That's a great game. Yeah, Subnautica.
Yeah, Subnautica is only on the PC?
Correct. Yes, it is only on the PC right now.
And about how much is that?
I think it's $20. Like, at like its normal price. I got it on sale for $5. So, yeah. I mean, the big Steam sale.
Steam, so it goes on sale sometimes.
Yeah, so, I mean, if anyone's... You know, if this is current, it's almost Christmas. So, right now, in this episode, it's almost Christmas. So... Steam sale is going to be here in about 2 weeks, so look out for Subnautica. Yeah, it's going to be about, probably going to end up costing like $6 or something. But it's fantastic, and they're constantly updating, constant updates. And they're going to add another Leviathan character also that's going to be 120 times bigger than your character model. It's supposed to attack the other one. I know.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
Don't we wish. Oh, yeah, I said Mirror's Edge. I don't know, a lot of people have heard about that one. It's like, kind of like it's a free-running game. But, I mean, it's the only one, and the story's super short. I mean, you can speedrun it. I mean, if that's what you're into. You could speedrun it in, like, 32 minutes, I think. Someone has beat it in the fastest time.
I'm good with that one.
Right?
I got that.
Good luck.
So good old 32-minute Tom.
But no, that's about all I could think.
32-minute Tom, but we're not going to time this.
They were nice. They gave me that. We were padding for an extra half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 30 minutes covers all the crying and sobbing.
Oh. Oh. Okay, that's my turn.
Okay. So.
Who's next?
I'm next. So, we're going to switch topics to a related topic, but I think we are going to take a little breaky poo for us. Breaky poo. You know, comments like that are why you watch Guys Games and Beer. Breaky poo, because we take breaky poos. What was that?
It's because I thought they hated themselves.
Might have something to do with that. But we love you, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hey, I'm Nubet, the drunken babysitter, and you're watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Cheers.
And we're back, and Larry is in the house.
Yay, we're going to be... Woo! Wait, no, he's sober, Larry, because he was driving.
Yeah, oh well.
Just for right now.
Sober. Shockingly sober, Larry.
Poor Larry.
That's
All right, so
we're going to start with... we are going to be talking about bundles and whether they... You know, whether it's over for them. But first, we're going to start with Larry. We're going to let him chime in on the last segment. I'd like to hear what his world less traveled is, his undiscovered territory. I said territory, right?
I know you wanted to avoid the whole Star Trek thing. I know you did. But go
ahead. I was going to say country. I said territory.
I know.
What is your undiscovered game, Larry?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's technically undiscovered for me, too, because I haven't purchased it yet, but I've heard about this game. Alicia, my daughter, has been playing it, and she was really excited about it, and I had never heard of it. A game called Undertale. And it's a little bit of a different game. It's a kind of like an RPG-style game, and you can play it one of three ways. You can be a complete pacifist and not kill a single monster or bad guy in the entire game.
Yep.
That's like high level one. You know, that's the one you that's the one you really want to achieve at. Yeah. And then you can just play middle of the road where sometimes you kill stuff, sometimes you don't. Kind of normal play. And then you can be just all out evil and just kill everything.
So like every game.
Well, you know, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm talking about, like, killing, like, the shopkeepers. And
it's
if you understand. So every game I play.
Well, you know, some games didn't let you do that, but I do know there's newer games. But this one seemed really intriguing me, and you can replay it in all three ways. I have heard one caveat, though, that you can't replay it if you complete the game as evil first.
Really? Whoa, 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 whoa. Really? So if you've actually...
Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers!
So wait a minute. So if you play it, I kill everything. That's it. You can't replay in the other two modes?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question.
Apparently it actually changes the game code.
Okay, then my question for it, I don't know if you know because you haven't played it yet, but how is that how is that done? I mean, is it like the characters that you kill when you play through the first time, are they gone? Or does it just lock it out saying, no, screw you?
It locks out the other modes.
Holy crap.
Wait, I do believe it is unlockable, though. There's like a thing you can go through. It's like a patch you can download off like the site. I think...
reinstalled this game to reset it then.
I'm pretty sure that is exactly what you have to do.
Delete that cloud save,
delete it and reinstall it.
That's still something. I mean, you gotta like cool. Pull it out, it's you know?
it's like that old, what was that game?
There was a game that existed, and then once you beat it, it erased itself. And then, like, it was given out for free. I can't remember what the game was called, but it... Yeah, it was like given out for free. It was like 3D. It was like a first-person shooter and all that shit. But after you beat the game, it deleted itself, and then it literally just like absolutely disappeared because for some reason it just like no one ever kept onto it for whatever reason. Yeah, okay, it's just neat. I think things like that are neat.
It's a clever gimmick. Okay, so sounds like a great game. What's the platform and what's the cost?
Last time I checked, I think it was around that between $20 and $10 kind of thing, depending on... You can get it on Steam, and so, you know, so it's a Windows platform for sure.
Windows,
I didn't notice any others because I don't care, because I do Windows. I don't own a Mac, so I just don't even look, but for sure, Windows, and, you know, depending on the Steam sale... You can probably get it pretty cheap.
And again, let's mention that as you're watching this episode, Christmas is probably only a week or two away, which means the Steam Christmas sale is going to be starting. Buy. Consumerism. Buy. Consumerism. Buy.
Spend your money.
This message has been brought to you by Steam. Games for cheap. Spend your money. Spend your freaking money!
They live off of that vibe.
Especially with, you know, parents don't give their kids just straight cash now because they're too worried about them buying drugs. So, you know, you get those Visa gift cards. Best thing to do is a Steam sale with them, right?
Or trade them for drugs. One of the two.
That too.
If you can work that out, you know.
Pro tip. You know, don't the Visa things have a fee to them and stuff? Just buy the Steam card up front.
Or just buy the drugs up front.
Tom's right.
Guys, Games and Beer does not endorse drug usage. Disclaimer. Unless you're not driving.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, alcohol we don't count.
All right, so Rob.
Disclaimer, lawyer. Filibustered. Disclaimer.
Yeah.
What is the second topic this evening, Rob?
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about...
10 minutes later.
I thought we were just
going
to keep going with rambling.
Yeah, just rambling. We're going to talk about rambling. No, we are going to talk about a very important topic. Have bundles run their course? Is it over for bundles? Have bundles lost their glossy sheen? Their Charlie Sheen, if you will.
Well, I hope they lost their Charlie Sheen.
Oh, God, I've been drinking too much.
You mean he has a lot of things that he can never get rid of?
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so, Rob, why did you start this topic out?
Well, Indy Royale kind of needs a drug cocktail now, doesn't it?
I think somebody already administered the dread cocktail to them. Hence Wait, the reason.
So what happened?
Oh, no, no, no. This is terrible. Indie Royale is, if you don't know, dead. They were tied to Dezura, which has gone under, so we are one bundle short. And they were one of the major bundle dealers. That said, our bundle's dead. They're not as great as they used to be. I used to really look forward to bundles, but now they're done so often that I just don't care. That said, I still probably buy two a week. But, you know, now there's like a Monday bundle, a hump day bundle, a thank God it's Friday bundle.
So what you're saying is bundles are dead. It's just Rob keeping them afloat. That's it. Just Rob.
Pretty much. Yeah, I just do it.
So you can give them away on Facebook.
Sometimes. I keep a lot, but I have a lot, so, you know.
See, these board games are good. The others are crap. Give them away free.
You know, I think really what happened, I at least think Humble Bundle jumped the shark when they started doing, like, those dev jams where you absolutely don't know what you're going to get from this dev jam, but you're buying into it anyway. I think that was it. When I got, like, when I was looking forward to Notch's release, and he released, like, shit. And I'm, like, looking at all the things that I got off of this 24 on...
That horse game?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that game where it was just, like, one giant map with a horse and then a ball with a horse texture on it that you
could... No, and that sounds worse than what
That's
I got.
Notch's latest the creator of Minecraft, everyone.
It was Catacomb Smash or Crash or something. It was terrible. And it was... Oh, I'm going to get hate for this. I know it. But, you know...
When do we not?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
We love the haters.
I've never seen any hate mail.
That's because I don't send it to you because you're fragile.
So fragile. That's why you...
They're fans, so...
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's how I look at it. Yeah, so... I think that was really when they started just, you know, jumping the shark and things started going downhill. Developer jams when you've only got 24 hours to build a game. It's very hard. I did think that they showed an amazing amount of inexperience during that one. I can't believe I'm still talking about this, but, you know you got 24 hours. Think Atari 2600 here. Don't try to do something too complicated. Keep it simple.
Don't
make
go 3D
it...
graphics.
Yeah, all right.
Don't go 3D graphics.
No, just...
Don't.
Just top down. Platformer. platformer. Dual stick shooter.
Yeah, right.
Something with Space Invaders.
Something that's repetitive.
Yes.
And simple. And addicting.
Right. You can have it get faster. You can have it increase the quantity of enemies. Those are things you can do quickly in a 24-hour period. You don't need to try to develop a complex storyline. No. If you're doing this in 24 hours. You're writing the game in 24 hours. You're not going to write a storyline in 24 hours.
Or even if you do a storyline, what you do is you keep it vague. Let the people who play it, like, fill in the gaps and, like, make it their own appreciations and things like that. I mean, a lot of the best games do things like that where it's open to interpretation. I cannot talk to a holy mother god.
Exactly. Okay. So basically you're saying that bundled games have jumped the shark. They're dead or jumped the shark and died?
They're not dead, but they're not what they used to be. They're not the shiny package. Remember, I just remember the days when I used to look forward to the next bundle. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the next bundle. I can't wait to get this big bundle of indie games that I haven't seen before. Now it's like, oh my god. Can we really just get another action RPG out there? And yes, I mentioned it in my last segment, but good action RPGs are few and far between. Crappy ones are everywhere. Same goes with roguelikes. There's a million bad roguelikes out there. Very few good ones.
Yes. One that I love, I don't remember the name of right now, and I wish I could say it.
Good job, JJ.
You're welcome, Rob.
I just want to say, I'm kind of in the same boat with Rob. I don't think bundles are going to go away because, regardless of how you feel about them, they're a sweet deal. I mean, even if it's just indie games, sometimes they have, like, well-known games. Maybe they've been out a year or two, whatever, but they are a sweet deal. And then with the Humble Indie Bundles and stuff like that, or just the Humble Bundle in general.
Humble Bundle, you always said Humble Bundle.
The Humble Bundle.
You
lazy
bastard.
Humble Bundle.
You
blaring it.
But they're a great deal, and I mean, the Humble Bundle, it goes to charity. It's a good cause. So that's another thing. It's a draw. Like you said, it's not like shiny, like, oh my God, look at these things that are new and exciting. So it's not over, but it's not the same. Just with like anything that everything has its peak and then just kind of levels out. But my thing, it's kind of also like with Steam. They started and there were one or two and a couple, and then there were a bunch, and then it had to even out. I mean, those were going to go away. It's just like Steam right now. It's curious to see what's going to happen with Steam, because when Steam started actually releasing games and having the market and stuff, it was like, okay, every week there'd be a dozen or so games or maybe a couple. But now it's like any day you look at it, there's like, hey, look at these 5,000 things. It's getting flooded, and it's interesting to see how well Steam will function with that going on.
And yeah, I agree. Remember when you used to like totally look forward to Steam sales? It's like, oh my God, it's a Steam Christmas sale! Ah! Last year, I think I bought two things off it. I buy a lot of crap.
Not even just that, I remember always looking through like the new release on Steam, and I don't anymore because there's just so damn much every day.
Yeah, and the majority of it is crap.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's like there has to be a better way to go through it, see things. I mean,
yes and no. I mean, you can go ahead and buy individual games. The best way to find games is to watch our show, and we'll tell you which games are good, and then go out and buy those games. Just going to put that out there right now. But that, if you don't get a chance to do that...
Well, it does pay us off. So.
Right. No, but... No, yeah, don't we wish. God, pay... Start paying us off. We'll actually talk nicely about your game. Actually, we won't talk nice about your game anyways. Never mind. But, no, I'm going to say bundles aren't dead. I mean to call that right now. Bundles are not dead. Humble Bundle will continue to go on. I have a strong feeling Indiegala, which is a UK bundle, will continue to go on quite nicely.
Their bundles are pretty nice. I do have one issue with them. I don't like bundles that is one game and all the downloadable content as a bundle.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Indiegala does have a habit of doing that, where they sell a game. Yeah, thank you. It's called a sale, where they sell a game, and then they give you all the DLC as part of the bundle. No, that's not part of the bundle. You're buying the darn game anyways. But... Indiegala is
unless it's Dungeon Defenders, in which case, hell yeah.
But, or it's, you know, The Witcher, and like, hey, they give you all the DLC because fuck yeah.
But Indiegala, the nice thing about Indiegala is they do actually give you your keys, so you can share them with, you know, if you see a game that you don't want but one of your friends may want, you can actually give it to them. Unlike Humble Bundle now, Humble Bundle used to do this. You actually used to get the keys. When Humble Bundle first started, they would email you your keys, which I loved because.
I didn't know they did that now. I don't buy too many bundles because I don't buy too much.
Oh no! Now it has to be linked to your Steam account, and they just put them into your Steam library. The plus side, and if you don't know the game, naturally Steam assumes you want the game and gives it to you. Yeah. So the plus side of that was if there may be games that you want out of the bundle, but you know you were never going to play, so you could give them out to your buds, which was a nice thing to do. Now the problem is you're going to get a lot of shovelware. Oh my God, you're going to get shovelware.
But at least you can delete things from your Steam library permanently now.
Finally, after how many years?
We'll throw a little the Indiegala. It's a little funky to work with just because they're European, so you're dealing in pounds. Yeah, so when you're looking at the prices and stuff, you know, you're dealing in pounds and things like that. So it's there's a little bit of conversion and stuff that's got to happen, and that, you know.
The other thing about Indiegala, like Rob said, the problem with Indiegala though is they have the it's a Monday bundle, it's a hump day bundle, it's Friday bundle, it's because we want a bundle. They send bundles out all the time. Hence the reason. Indiegala is great if you want a ton of shovelware. Or if you're Guys, Games, and Beer and want to give away a bunch of free games, Indiegala is amazing!
I mean, the games we give away are great.
No, we don't give away any shovelware at all. We give away the best games, don't we? So, that being said, watch our show. Follow us on...
Hey, this week's was good.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook because God, we give away games. Follow us on Twitter because God, we give away games. No, yeah, actually, the games we gave, you gave away something really good this week, but we'll talk about that later. So no, I don't feel that bundles are dead. I feel that bundles still have their place. I think they do need to cut back to where they actually have stuff they can bundle, good new indie games, and make a nice package. You don't need to come out with a bundle every 2 days. You know, you can wait a month. You can have a bundle a month, and it'll be just fine for most people. Hell, you can have a bundle every 6 months. If you've got good content, people don't mind waiting. I know your model is, hey, the more bundles we sell, the more money we make. No, up the price of the bundle and come up with good games worth actually having the bundle for. There are other bundles out there.
You're expecting a good deal. What's the cutoff there? You say up the price a little and add the content a little bit. I mean, what are you talking?
Well, more games.
Okay, so let me tell you how it was. So literally with Indie Gala and Indie Royal, and again, Indie Royal is dead now. You can buy bundles for cheap as $1.50 for like 8 games. So that, you know what, is too cheap. Okay. Even if it's shovelware, that's too cheap. That means you are...
Potato Man went for like $1 something in a bundle, and that game's freaking awesome.
Agreed, but the problem is then the developers aren't making enough money to produce decent games. You're just going to get shovelware at that point. You're going to get something where people are hoping to sell some kind of quantity at a quarter a game to make some money. Yeah, no. You know something? For those who do bundle games... look at improving the quality of your bundles. I think you're going to be a lot happier in the long run.
So are you thinking a $10 price point with some higher quality games might be a better way to go?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I would pay $10 for 5 to 10 good games. I kind of have a rule of thumb. $1 to $2 for a decent game, if it's, you know, a quickie game, is perfectly acceptable. It's the same...
This is so not the 90s.
No, but... No, but here's the thing. If it's I'm talking about shovelware even. I'll pay $1 to $2 for shovelware.
Just to try it out.
I'm not going to pay $10 for shovelware to try it out. So if you want to get me to try your game, you know, and if it's nothing spectacular, let's just say it's another blasting game where I shoot a whole bunch of shit on screen, I can play for 5 minutes, and I'm done. Yeah, $1 to $2 is probably all I'm going to go on that.
One thing I'm not too familiar with too many bundles, but like the Humble Bundle, the fact that they do something kind of like that where they, okay, well, if you pay a little bit more above the average, you can get these games, and usually the games they have are like major releases or something like that that are more expensive, which is great, but you can still get all the other stuff, like the indie games and stuff they have, but it's an added incentive to pay more. Right. Which is I really do like that.
Humble Bundle markets well that way, yeah. If you pay, you know, if they base prices, let's say $10.95, if you pay $12.95, you get this, and this add-on. And if you pay $15.95, you get this, and this, and this add-on. Humble Bundle's done a really good job with that.
The other marketing thing that they do really well is the fact that they list the different average prices of different, like, operating systems and things like that, which I always love because it's just, like, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Windows shaming.
Yeah, Windows shaming.
Pretty much.
All right, go ahead, pass it to Travis. Nope, Travis got nothing on this?
Nothing.
All right.
He has nothing.
I do have a side point.
Side point. Sidebar.
It's Sidebar with Larry Davis.
And it's kind of ties in a little bit because we went out to B-Fig a couple years back. I guess it's now last year when we went out there. We met the guys from Night Squad.
Yep.
That's the free Xbox game this month.
That's badass.
So if you got an Xbox account, Xbox Gold, you can get that game, and we've talked about it on our show. I was like, this is so cool. I feel like they made it.
Because of us, definitely.
We pushed them over that
Got
edge.
Their game, nothing. No, it was us.
It was guys, games, and beer.
They were nothing before us. JJ?
Yeah. The only thing I really got to say about bundles is I don't think they're dead. I think it's just gotten to the point now where there have been, like, a bunch of different attempts at the best way to do it, and now the ones that are around are just the ones that have done the best. So, like, for example, Humble Bundle, like you said, it's got all the different, like, price points, you know, For an extra $4, you get these two other games. For an extra, like, $10, you get these, like, five other games. And for an extra, like... Yes, and usually, and they always, they always have, what was it, charity stuff going on. They always donate money to charity. So, like, Humble Bundle is just a great company. I do agree with what you said about how they don't give out keys anymore. I don't like that. It does give it, like, a degree of simplicity, how you just kind of hit buy, done, and it's in your library. Like, you don't have to type in or, you know.
Over your Steam account.
Right. Right, exactly. And I mean, you don't have to type in the code. And when I say type in the code, I mean hit Control V, you know, Control C, Control V, and then, you know. But still, you don't got it. And it's four less keys you have to hit. So simplicity, you know, is the key to that one right there.
Staff member, in which case.
Then you got to hit about 12, maybe more. Yes. Yes. It still is, to this day, a challenge.
He still tries to eat the paste.
But... I just think that now there's like, you know, it's like Walmart had a good, you know, has just had a good run and is now a huge company. Humble Bundle has had a good run and now it's a huge company. You know, like Sears is starting to die out, like Indy Royale, right? Indy Royale is dead.
Their company died, so
right,
with cheese.
Right,
with cheese.
But no, I just think that they're not dead. I think it's just come to the point now where there are less because the greater have risen and the less have now fallen because they've been around for so long now. I mean, no, you know. But I really love Humble Bundle because they don't just do games. Like, I love Humble Bundle for their comic deals and their, you know, their soundtrack. Ebook deals are, like, great. Yeah, any soundtrack deals they have on there are usually just, like, the fucking best, you know? And the thing is with the soundtrack deals, usually they've got, like, two in there that are great, and then, like, there might be, you know, four or five other ones, but you're gonna like two or three of those, you know, other ones that are gonna be in there. Well, maybe not like them, but be like, eh, I'll tolerate it.
The fact that it's just more than games is really great, because, like,
the yeah, comics, exactly. The fact that it's just, it's more than just games, you know? But that's, you know,
episodes of guys, games, and beer.
You know. All
right,
check Mike.
Right, right.
Let's check Mike and see what he's got.
How about, what do you got about bundles?
it's Mr. Off Camera.
Ultimately, they're including Humble Bundle, which you guys have obviously mentioned. There's a few email lists I get when, like, good bundles come out, and if there's at least one game that interests me, I'll usually buy it. But I think ultimately the biggest problem with bundles is maybe not the average gamer, but most people just aren't just don't play the games that you get in the bundles. It's just the reality of the situation. You know, I've bought in a few bundles, and I swear I played maybe one or two games from each one. So, and that's just what it is. So, and if I buy a bundle and two of the games aren't that great, I might not play the other three. And if, like, the last one might be the best one, so I don't know. Just because of that, I agree with Rob. Bundles are kind of dying out. If they don't have a really good cause behind them, I don't buy them, so.
I buy them anyway because I'm stupid.
So, no, I'm a sucker. You just want to make your Steam account the biggest one in existence, I think.
I am really working on it. That's over 1,000, babies. Over 1,000 now.
Collection. Everyone has a collection.
That's right.
Rob's is Steam games that he will never play.
Yep. I am really working on having the most unplayed Steam games on Steam.
All right. You know what? No. Wait.
Yet I play Potato Man. Seeks the Troop. I play that.
Do you have all 1,000 installed?
Hell no. I don't have room for 1,000.
Oh, you need to get on that, son.
Yeah, I'll be
it's
right
not
on
a
that.
True collection.
Alright, so Rob,
take us out.
Terabyte hard drive.
I have a terabyte hard drive. It can't handle it.
Terabar.
One entire Tara.
Tara from the most popular girls on the internet. We miss you guys.
Yeah, we do miss you guys.
Alright, so, hey. We're here closing it up over at Toad Hall. So if you're ever in Racine, Wisconsin, make sure to look up Toad Hall right here on Wisconsin Avenue and try their award-winning, yes, I said it, award-winning burgers and drinks that'll get you pretty lit up. At least it worked for me anyway. Yep, literally. They are literally award-winning burgers here. So check this place out. We will have a link. We always do. And we got more to tell you. More. Yeah. Speaking of bundles, we got a bundle of love for you guys. We love our listeners. Check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you are a Twitterer, make sure to check us out at guysgamesbeer. There's no and there. We couldn't afford the and.
It's really expensive.
Too much for the vowel. Too much for those. Just way too expensive. And, of course, we're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.
Are we on Tinder?
And on Tinder. No. Well hung, Larry, at Tinder.
give me the mic for just a moment. Okay, so, that being said, January is fast approaching, and if you guys have not been to and want to go to a great gaming convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, yes. Midwinter Gaming Convention, yes. I almost did Midwinter Gaming Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is January 14th, 15th, I think.
Maybe three.
It's like the second weekend in January. You really want to check this out, find them online. It's called the Midwinter Gaming Convention. We will be doing a live panel show there on Saturday that weekend.
Giveaways.
Yeah. Stop by because, we are going to be giving away a crap load of stuff that day. And, hey, we're actually kind of funny to watch live.
Sometimes.
Wow. gentlemen, shall we leak a little information tonight?
I don't know.
I say let's leak it. Screw it. Travis, what do you think? Should we just leak the information?
Sure.
All right, Travis, you get to make the announcement.
About January?
Yeah, about January. Travis, make the announcement.
All right, so since they put us on their webpage, we're going to hope that this is a thing, but we're going to be at Wizard World Gaming Con January 22nd through the 24th. This is Wizard World Comic Con's first gaming convention. So they're trying to do stuff that is gaming, tabletop related. They're going to have a lot of famous cosplayers, the DeLorean from Back to the Future, the old Batmobile, that cool stuff. The stuff you get from regular Wizard World Comic. But we will also be there with a retro gaming museum of epic proportions. We are combining our collections together like a fucking epic Voltron of collections.
Yes.
And it is going to be the most badass thing there. So there'll be Steel Italian, Oculus, every retro gaming system under the sun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And this is in the very, very distant and exotic lands of Atlanta.
Of Atlanta, Georgia!
It's a hub city. You can get there.
Super easy. You can even stop as a layover. Come on!
So, go to the Wizard World website. Check out Wizard World Gaming Atlanta.
Wizzled.
You can check out Wizzled. We actually will have a link to it on our website as well. Definitely give us a check down in Atlanta if you're one of our southern listeners. Be a chance to see us live. We are also going to be doing 2 to 3 panel shows down there, too. We'll be doing...
probably be drunk.
Well, of course we're going to be drunk. But stop in, say hi. As always, we'll be giving away a lot of G2B swag. So, check us out.
Thanks for watching G2B. We love our listeners probably more than would make you comfortable. Thanks for watching. Have a good one. See you next week.
Bye, Louise.
That was my armpit.